Super short one today. Please watch and share. I got to meet up with Professor Matthias Desmet in person in the Ivy Gardens Hotel in Dublin. He was here on a book tour for The Psychology of Totalitarianism, his fantastic new book. So we get to address the criticisms of his overall theory around mass formation. And I think he does it with great aplomb. So do enjoy. Hey all, I'm delighted to be here in the Ivy Gardens Hotel with Matthias Desmet.
Thank you, Ivor.
Great to see you in person. You know, we had that amazing interview that did so well on YouTube about the psychology of totalitarianism. And you know, it's your book tour, by the way, we'll touch on that first. You're here in Dublin for one of your events.
Yes, I am. Yes, I'm here to give a few book presentations here in Dublin, yes.
And it went well last night?
It went very well, yes, yes. I like the city, I like the atmosphere, I like the Guinness, so I will come back.
Excellent. And, you know, some of the Irish are not fully mass-formed as yet, so that's good. So today I wanted to briefly go through the content of our last interview, and the link is down below, so you can, it's an amazing interview, I think. But briefly go through the four and the two, the preconditions for a mass formation to occur, and what it really is, simply put, and then the two kind of injections that trigger it. But mainly after that, we'll focus on the factors that drive the mass formation, i.e. the elites, the organizations, because some people criticized, well, mass formation and all your talk is somewhat blaming the victim, blaming the people. I know otherwise. So, but first the summary, yeah.
A summary, yes. Well, in the beginning of the crisis, I noticed that people who bought into the mainstream narrative just, in a strange way, were incapable of seeing how absurd the narrative was in many respects. So it was as if they were incapable of taking a critical distance of what they believed in. And second, I also noticed that these people were willing to radically self-sacrifice. They were, if they would have opened their eyes, they would have seen that they were losing so many things, their health, their wealth, the future of their children, and so on, as a consequence of the corona measures. And then thirdly, what I also noticed was that these people also became radically intolerant for dissonant voices. And that's exactly, if you look at these three characteristics, that's exactly what happens when an individual is in the grip of a specific kind of group formation, which is called mass formation. And in our previous interview, I explained that this kind of group formation typically flourishes when specific psychological conditions are met in a society. And the most important condition is that many people have to feel socially isolated, socially disconnected, and also disconnected from nature. Secondly, many people have to struggle with a lack of meaning making. And thirdly, many people have to be confronted with what I refer to as free floating anxiety, frustration, and aggression. Meaning a kind of anxiety, frustration, and aggression they cannot connect to a mental representation, a kind of anxiety, frustration, and aggression in which people don't know what they feel anxious, frustrated, and aggressive for. If people are in this state, disconnected, lack of meaning making, free-floating anxiety, frustration, and aggression, then something very specific might happen. If that in such under these conditions, a narrative is distributed through the mass media, indicating an object of anxiety, and at the same time providing a strategy to deal with that object of anxiety, then all this free-floating anxiety, which was without mental representation, might connect to the mental representation of the object of anxiety indicated in the narrative, and there might be a huge willingness to participate in a strategy to deal with the object of anxiety, for instance, the lockdowns to deal with the virus, but also in the past, the witch hunts to deal with the witches, the concentration camps to deal with the Jews, the crusades to deal with the Muslims in the holy country, and so on. So, the advantage is that when people can connect their anxiety to this object of anxiety, the first advantage is that they have the illusion that they can control their anxiety. And that they also have a perspective to take their aggression and frustration out on someone, namely all the people who do not want to join them in the battle with the object of anxiety. That's the first step. And then the second step is, because so many people at the same time participate in a strategy to deal with the object of anxiety, people feel connected again. They feel as if there is a new social bond. They feel a huge solidarity. They feel connected again in the heroic collective battle with the object of anxiety, in this case the coronavirus, and everyone who doesn't go along with within the heroic battle, namely the anti-vaxxers, the people who refuse to buy into the narrative. So that's what a mass formation does. What is so attractive in a mass formation for people who are in the grip of it is simply that it liberates them from their feeling of disconnectedness, that it gives them a new social bond, a new feeling of belonging, or belonging to a collective, and that it gives them the feeling that they can control their anxiety and take their aggression and frustration out. And that's the reason why people, once they are in this process of mass formation, they usually do everything to stay in it. And it's a process that is similar to hypnosis. I mentioned that in our previous conversation. It's people who are in the grip of it will typically experience everything they do, all the behaviors they participate in, which are imposed by the government, such as the mask wearing, the lockdowns, and so on. They will typically these behaviors will typically fulfill the function of a ritual. They are ritualistic behaviors that have actually no pragmatic meaning, and that demand a sacrifice of the individual, a sacrifice through which the individual shows that the collective is more important than its own individual interests. So that's what the mass formation is in a nutshell.
Excellent. So well summarized. And yeah, there were so many things I loved about it. A, it explained to me and gave me the term and the psychology for what I clearly observed as the scientific thinker in 2020 onwards. I saw all of what you say happening, and I mused at it. I blamed it on a culture of safism over the past 30 years, that people have become more and more safety conscious, and now they were literally fodder for the corporates and pharma and WHO. But you've put it much more clearly and scientifically. And the other key thing for me, though, was the self-reinforcing loop. As an engineer, I love those and I hate those. So once the people are drawn in with their loneliness and their lack of meaning, and they attach to a narrative and it makes them feel that their anxiety and lack of meaning is now fixed somewhat, they then become wedded firmly, like ratchet into it. And that's what I also observed. Everyone, to me as a rationalist, kind of went mad. And hypnosis, to do crazy stuff, is a kind of madness. So the other thing was, though, and people should really watch in the link down below the full discussion, because it's fascinating, on mass formation. But the criticism was, and I know you've responded recently to some articles criticizing you, but it's always the similar criticism, that you're kind of placing the problem or the cause of the issue at the foot of the people and the multitude. Which I agree with, because that's the main problem in many ways. But on the other hand, the real root cause is the narrative that has not only been cultured and grown for 20 or 30 years, perhaps more, but has been orchestrated, managed, organized with purchasing the media. We've got World Economic Forum, WHO, our pharma completely subverted. We've got all the corporations, foundations for vaccines, Gavi, and literally the list is so long, and they truly are all working together in it. So maybe we'll address that, the other driver, which some would feel is the driver.
Yes. Okay, good. You know, in my book, The Psychology of Totalitarianism, I show, or I in my analysis, the root cause of the problem we are in is a certain view on man and the world. A view on man and the world, which I call the mechanist, rationalist view on man and the world.
You know what I'll just say rather than subtitles? Man in the world, this view of man and meaning in the world.
There's a certain view on man and the world, yes. Mm. A certain ideology. A certain ideology which believes that the universe is a kind of a materialist phenomenon that can be perfectly understood, controlled, and manipulated in a rationalist way. I will put it in a nutshell now, but I think that it is this view on man and the world which, on the one hand, created the psychological conditions that made people vulnerable for mass formation. That's one. We just mentioned them. Mm. This view on man and the world, you can explain that step by step in a psychological, you can explain step by step the psychological mechanisms at work. This view on man and the world disconnected people from the social and natural environment. It led to this free-floating anxiety, frustration, and aggression, and then That may, and people were in the state where they were very sensitive for mass formation. So that's the one part of the problem. There is an, of course, there is a second leg, namely, this view of man in the world also created a new elite which believed that the entire human being could be understood in a rationalist way, could be manipulated, could be optimized in a rationalist way. And in the end, that's what transhumanist ideology really represents, this kind of thinking. It believes the transhumanist ideology, which you probably are familiar with, mm-hmm. as described by, for instance, Yuval Noah Harari in his book Homo Deus, the transhumanist ideology which believes that a human being should merge with all kinds of technological devices, that its immune system should be optimized by mRNA vaccines and so on, a kind of ideology which believes that human rational understanding can create a new superhuman which will be godlike. So that's what this mechanist thinking created, a new elite which truly believed that on the basis of rational analysis, rational manipulation, it could create a godlike human being, and also that it could control society in a rationalist manipulative way. If you look at, as soon as the ancien regime in France collapsed, we saw the emergence of the first propaganda institutes. Napoleon established the first propaganda institute in the world. And then we noticed how this propaganda machinery became bigger and bigger and bigger. In the First World War, it was already huge. There was a huge propaganda machinery put into action. And then in the Second World War, it was even much bigger, the propaganda machinery. And now the entire social space is saturated constantly with indoctrination and propaganda, through which the global institutions such as the WHO, the WEF, and so on, we all know the institutions involved, through which these institutions push their ideology, their transhumanist ideology, forward. That's what's happening. So we have two things that happen at the same time. On the one hand, we have the population that is more and more, in which the specific conditions for mass formation are more and more fulfilled, and then we have this elite which uses more and more propaganda and indoctrination to push forwards its rationalist, transhumanist ideology. And now it comes totalitarianism. That's what Hannah Arendt said. Totalitarianism, in the end, is a diabolic pact, she said, a diabolic pact between the masses and the elite. And we should not forget, we should never focus only at the elite, because if you would destroy the elite, that's so typical for totalitarianism. It's a technocratic totalitarianism you're dealing with here, not a fascist or a communist totalitarianism. It's a technocratic totalitarianism. But in totalitarianism, if you would analyze the situation only in terms of an evil elite that is the cause of all problems, if you would situate the problems only at the level of the elite, then the logical, strategical conclusion would be that we have to destroy the elite in an insurrection, in a violent revolution, and that then the problem would be solved. But it wouldn't be solved. That's something that was very well described by, for instance, Solzhenitsyn, and also by Hannah Arendt again, that in a totalitarian system, if you destroy the elite, it is just replaced by new people. Because the point of gravity is not only situated in the elite, it's also situated in the masses who buy into the narrative of the elite. And even more, the real root cause of the problem is a certain view on man and the world, a certain ideology which has this illusionary, delusionary belief that rational understanding can make a human being godlike, that it can make us live forever, that it can put us in a constant state of biochemically induced happiness, and so on. So as long as this ideology is dominant in our society, we will time and time again lapse into the problem of totalitarianism. So what we should really overcome is not the elite, or not only the elite, it's this ideology.
Yes, exactly. There's root cause in the phenomenon of mass formation, which has been a long time growing and cultivated by many new ideologies. And then there's root cause in the people driving it, but they're also exploiting mass formation phenomena in a sense. Now, it's not just, say, transhumanist kind of views or ideologies. I know Harari and WEF does a lot of that madness, but a lot more people are driving the direction for, say, they want the planet for themselves because they're ultra wealthy and the top class know that they'll have a lovely life, but they don't want the rabble using up all the energy and the fossil fuels. There's pharma, which is enormously influential. I mean, they literally almost own the FDA, and they are all in with enormous influence. And then you have all the myriad other corporates who see a new stable market and a more stable world, which is more totalitarian, but that will suit them. After COVID, the biggest corporations in the world made out like bandits, trillions of dollars, and the small businesses were destroyed. So it's like, it's so much beyond the transhumanism. It's this huge kind of, it's a confluence of interests over decades. And they all may not understand fully the mass formation, but they all just know the way to push the world, you know, into trans, all this trans debate. You know, they threw out monkeypox a few months ago, which was absurd. And I think they were disappointed because it was so ridiculous. They couldn't keep fueling the mass formation with monkeypox, but they tried. And we've got the Ukraine war, and that is being used, magnified, terrible conflict, but magnified. There's so many parties there. You know what, Matthias, it occurs to me as I speak. It's so hard to attack that side of root cause because they're simply myriad. They're almost like biblical. Call us legion, for we are many. So I agree with you in the end, and we'll close with this. It's the mass formation phenomenon that fundamentally is the bigger part of the problem, I think.
It's an emergent phenomenon. It's a complex dynamic phenomenon. Many factors are involved. The lust for power, the lust for money. But I think in the end, it's ideologically driven, I think. That's what I think. I think in the end, what will seize control of society is a certain ideology, I believe. And definitely, as you said in the beginning, I mentioned literally in my book that the mass formation might emerge spontaneously. The first steps of the mass formation might happen spontaneously. That happened in Nazi Germany, for instance. The first steps of the mass formation seem to have been a spontaneous phenomenon there. And after a while, it was artificially used by a certain elite, and which made it a more or less stable phenomenon because, and I mentioned that literally in my book, no mass formation can continue to exist if there is no indoctrination and propaganda. Mass formation emerges and it disappears again after a short time. If it is not systematically continued through indoctrination and propaganda, so definitely what we see here, I think in this case, you know, it's very interesting to contrast the situation in Nazi Germany and in the Soviet Union. In Nazi Germany, the first steps of the mass formation happened spontaneously. In the Soviet Union, from the beginning, it was artificially provoked. It was provoked through indoctrination propaganda from the beginning. And it's clear here that we have this, that this corona narrative is constantly exploited and used as a kind of propaganda and indoctrination. That's perfectly clear. So I never said that there would not be intentional manipulation or something. It comes to light every day more and more that there was a lot of intentional manipulation, and the people who did it even admit it in certain respects.
Yeah, that's the bizarre thing, but this can often happen. With, I remember there was someone, I think Putin, who's currently the bête noire of the day. His advisor or helper, I don't know the details, quite a young gentleman way back when he first rose to power, he used to actually tell people one thing, and a week later he would tell the people almost the opposite. And it looked to the outside observer that he was all over the place, but he was purposely throwing them one way and then the other to manipulate them. And he admitted it later in a biography. So absolutely, a lot of them now, Burks and even Bill Gates, incredibly, I'm sure you've seen the clip. He basically said, we didn't realize it was actually a low fatality rate, a kind of a disease mainly of the elderly, kind of like the flu.
Yes.
That's, I mean, he says it.
Yes.
And I think it was just a weak moment, but then these people who are megalomaniac, maybe they almost need to or want to say it.
But then, no, like if you read the book of Jacques Ellul, titled Propaganda, and you will see, he mentions already somewhere in 1960, I think, that people who, the masters of propaganda know perfectly that you can perfectly say, tell the population that you want to manipulate them, and that you can perfectly lie to them, it doesn't matter. And that becomes so clear if you understand the mechanism of mass formation. The reason why people buy into the narrative is not because it is true or correct. The reason why they buy into the mass formation is because it allows them to control their anxiety, to take out their frustration and aggression on someone, and because it creates this new social bond. So, unconsciously, people don't care whether it is true or not. They just sing the song of the mass formation because it connects them to each other, because it gives them an experience of meaning, because it gives these yields these advantages at the level of anxiety, frustration, and aggression. That's the reason why they bound to the narrative. And the more the people who lead them tell them, like, look, this narrative is wrong, it's a lie, we have been lying, we have been manipulating you, the more they say, yes, but we know, and that's why, that's exactly, we don't care, because we want to be to belong to a collective, we want to take our frustration and aggression out. So if you understand the psychological mechanism, you're not surprised at all.
That is beautifully said, Matthias. And you know, I'm just thinking of examples there as you speak. All these COVIDiots, the COVIDian cult, the most powerful ones, when one of their side actually says something like, well, actually, it wasn't that bad in mortality, or allows any of their guard to slip, they kind of turn and attack him or her.
They do. Yes. They just don't want it to end any cost.
No. I mentioned to you, and the ritual stuff I love, I mentioned that I had a group of kind of very professional, educated friends for 25 years. Mm. And in our interview, I mentioned how they were with me and they knew I was right. And they didn't really fall into the mass formation. They were pretty smart, you know. They knew lockdown was nonsense. They went along with it because they're in corporate roles and they could not be seen to question it. But then they left when they didn't take the vaccine. And as you said, you refused to partake in the ultimate ritual. Now, I've since actually met them. There was an event. And once you don't mention the war, things were okay. But there was one individual who had a personal fear of health, a specific health type condition. Now, it's published, and there are multiple papers showing that condition does not elevate your risk. But because of that condition, he became obsessed with the risk to him personally, and he was still very angry. So I guess there's room for people who not only go along with the mass formation because they need it, but even strong people who you play on their fear and give them a genuine materialistic fear. You know, we can get people in that way too.
Yes, of course, definitely, yes. Yes,
so
I agree.
Yeah, so there's so many ways to get the public in. Any last thoughts? Because I know you've got three more interviews this morning and a lot of noise has started. I'm not sure how the mics will do. But any last kind of summary, and we will talk again, I'm sure.
Yes, well, I think it's important now in this situation that we focus our attention at the right level. We have to know that we have to... Like, a new narrative will be used now to convince the population to go along with the ideological changes that certain people want to see happen in this society. And I think it will be the narrative of the economic crisis. But in the end, it will always boil down to the same thing. What certain people want to do is reshape society, create a new society, in which everyone is strictly controlled, and a certain part of the population will be happy to follow them in this respect. And I hope, and I'm sure there will be, another part of the population, it might be a small group, that refuses to go along, that defies the masses, that sticks to its principles, and that refuses to conform. And I think that's what we have to focus on in the years to come. We don't have to try to understand and predict what will happen. Not too much. We don't have to try to understand rationally what will happen and to control what will rationally happen. We have to focus on our principles. We have to stay true to our principles, to stay true to the principles of humanity. And if we do that, I think we will see. And the first principle, I always stress that, is that we have to continue to speak out. That's the most important thing. We have to continue to speak out, and if we do that, the mass formation will not go so deep that the masses try to destroy the people who do not go along with them. And in this way, the masses will exhaust themselves before they destroy the people who defy them, who do not go along with them. And the small group who chooses not to conform and who chooses to stay true to its ethical principles will become stronger and stronger and stronger. And in the end, it will be capable of delivering new principles for a new human living together. That's what we have to keep in mind if we go through the difficult period that is ahead of us, I think.
Yeah, excellent words. And you know, with central bank digital currency coming, and some would argue a lot of this whole COVID thing was around the reset of the financial, you just mentioned financial reset, and then we've got the climate as another beautiful kind of modeling based phenomenon that you can use to create more mass formation. But there, that's a great way to end it. The people who are rationalists, scientific and spiritual in a sense, who know that this is wrong, need to keep speaking up. You will get abused for it, everyone knows that, but you just keep speaking up quietly, calmly, refer to published papers, ask questions, as you recommended. Don't get wild-eyed and shouty. You look like a nutter. Calm, cool, questioning, and keep the topic alive.
Not trying to convince too much, just sticking to your right to express, to articulate your own opinion in a calm and quiet way. That's when you have most effect, I think.
Yeah, especially in these outrageously insane times.
Oh, indeed. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Matthias. And do check out the full interview. It's in the link below. And we'll be back again and we will talk later on this.
Wonderful.
I know.
Thank you. Thanks, Ivan.
As always, please like, subscribe and hit that notification bell. And please do comment below. We need to have these conversations. And thanks so much. Really appreciate all the people who support me to continue to do all this investigative reporting, data analysis, and everything else I do to bring real clear interpretation of science and data so that people can understand what's going on in the world today and somewhat be inoculated against the stream of kind of sometimes nonsense that emerges from the corporate controlled media. So no conspiratorial stuff there. It's just a reality that media has essentially collapsed over the last years and decades due to the so much dependency on government and advertiser funding and many other factors that have kind of sadly destroyed our mass media. So my Patreon, you can join up. I do monthly Zoom calls for certain categories, get vlogs out there. And again, it's a way for me to continue to do this work that I feel, and hopefully you feel, is hugely important in today's world. Thank you.